me a welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and we are so happy to have Charles Chip Esten on the show with us here in the National Defense. You know, the last time we talked to you, you were traveling down I-40 on your way through Knoxville, and you were just singing a song, and we were talking about Nashville.
I recall that's so funny. You brought that right back to me. I recall it well now. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing so well. I'm right now in the middle of this Outer Banks thing and my album. I'm doing the kind of good you shut up about, but I'm not going to shut up about it.
Yeah, you know, we've got some really good friends that moved to Carolina Beach, and they were so excited when they found out about Outer Banks and you know, that it was right there. Did you guys film that right there in North Carolina?
No, we actually don't, which is, it's very funny. I've been going to Outer Banks with my family as our beach week for over 20 years.
Really?
I got a big extended family, so we find a bunch of houses in there. Absolutely. And so I think a lot of people were surprised when they found out we actually shoot in Charleston, South Carolina. But we sure have helped that real estate market in Outer Banks. Last year, for the first time ever, my family was not able to get it was sold out. We weren't able to get in. So my own family was giving me a hard time. Thanks a lot, Chip, for Outer Banks.
Yeah,
thanks a lot.
That's right. Outer Banks shut us out of our vacation this year.
Exactly. In the same way, I get all the time, people say, you know, there's a lot more traffic here in Nashville than before the show came on. So people go, thanks a lot, Deacon. Thanks a lot, Chip. Way to go. All I know is that whatever show I do next, if it's named after a city, buy real estate because it needs to do rather well.
Go ahead and invest right now.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, you know, you just have that ability to go from project to project and make a big impact. And how did the Outer Banks opportunity come to you? Or did you have to audition? How did that go?
Well, that's the good and the cool question. I've been doing this acting thing for so long. I guess I started in 89. So I've been doing it, you know, for, well, you do the math. I'm not a math guy. 34 years. No, more. Wait. It's something like that. But in any event, I was always the guy that had to audition, had to fight for every role I ever got, including Deacon. Took a whole bunch of auditions to finally land that guy that got to play that music. Yeah, but then finally, on the heels of Nashville, that was the first time I ever got that call. You want to get some of those producers, Josh and Jonas Pate and Shannon Burke, who are the creative geniuses behind Outer Banks. And they just, first of all, we had worked together long ago on a show called L.A. Dragnet, which was a reboot of Dragnet with Ed O'Neill was on it. And they had given me a great scene there. So they remembered me from way back. And then they knew what I had done on Nashville. And they thought that they wanted, well, you know, it's no spoiler to say that Ward ends up being a pretty bad guy. But they wanted, I don't know, a little maybe heart in there. They wanted to mislead everybody at first. Whatever they saw in me, I was very grateful. On the heels of getting one show, you don't always get that. You rarely get two great characters. So on the heels of that one, I thought I was going to be having some downtime for a while. Little did I know I'd be chasing teenagers across the globe for gold. So I couldn't be happier.
You know, that's the thing. You know, I can't imagine I'm seeing you as Deacon and go, man, that guy, we could make him just the biggest bastard. We could, you know, I mean,
you know what? People forget in the early seasons of Nashville, Deacon was in a bad place.
Right.
And Deacon could knock some heads together.
That is true.
So I think they saw that too. People forget that. That's funny.
Hey, so when you played Deacon, you know, it's one of those watershed moments for a character that that people just remember from Nashville, and what a standout role that was. And did that lead you kind of back into music? Because I know you've always been into music, and you actually have a single and an album coming out, right?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, music is what came first. People always say, what came first, the music or the acting? It's not even close. I came out of the womb singing, my mom would tell you. She would say, she pushed me through. She says she remembers pushing me through the grocery store and I was singing Simon and Garfunkel's Mrs. Robinson at the top of my voice. And then I grew up, I learned piano, guitar, in college I was in a band. And so at that point after college, it was, which one am I going to do? I figured that I could go become an actor and I would meet another band and music would become a part of my life again. I never met that other band. I never stopped writing them. So it's not like it brought me back to music. I've always been doing music. It just gave me an opportunity, and it opened so many incredible doors for me to make music with the best, to play music with the best, to write music with the best, and to get on stages like the Grand Ole Opry. Come on now.
Wow.
I've been able to play the Grand Ole Opry now because of Nashville over 150 times. And so,
oh, my gosh, really?
Meant that I could make oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm very excited because I believe it's March 17th. I'll be going there to play. That'll be my 155th time, I believe. Wow. And I'll be playing my new single, One Good Move, off my debut album. I'm the luckiest guy you'll talk to today. I can promise you that.
You know, it's so funny. Actors that like to sing, and, you know, I've interviewed a bunch of them over the years. We just talked to Keanu Reeves. He's got the new John Wick 4 coming out. And, you know, he was a bass player in a band called Dogstar for many, many years. And, I hadn't really listened to much of their music, but that's a great band.
I totally agree. I mean, I totally agree. I know that's a thing that it sounds surprising to so many people. Like, you're an actor. Why would you be able to play music? That doesn't make sense to me. It makes more sense that if you're like interested in you know, the human experience, the human condition, and you want to act about it, of course, maybe you'd want to write and sing some songs about it as well. And that's where I live, and it's what I love. So yeah. I'm just doing my best here in Music City to make all the great music I can.
Did you produce the album in Nashville?
I did not produce it. I was a co-producer on so many of my singles. I've been here 10 years, and so I'm one of those guys that doesn't like to leave any meat on the bone. I never knew when Nashville was going to be around or not be around, so I dug in as hard as I could. And back in 16, I started a thing. I went on social media, and I said, I'm going to make a brand new single every week for as long as I can do it. And I called it Every Single Friday. And I figured I would do like 20 weeks. I ended up doing 54 weeks.
Wow.
Of consecutive singles, many of which, most of which I co-produced. And that turned out later to be a Guinness World Record. Now,
really?
As a kid, that's all I wanted was a Guinness World Record. Yeah. I think it's because that why in the world would anybody do that? For me, it was just pure love of the game and wanting to make as much great music as I could. But all of that music and all that production and writing and playing, that was my 10,000 hours getting ready for this one. But no, I got fantastic producer named Marshall Altman, and he's cut this thing on me.
Which studio?
Oh, it's great you asked that. It's in Nashville. It's Sound Emporium. It's one of my favorite studios in this town, and for many reasons, but one of the best is that I got to be in there and sing those Deacon Claiborne songs often. And so it was really like being on home turf. And I got the keys on it was played by a guy named Tim Lauer, who took over the music into the last two or three years of Nashville. But I didn't even bring Tim in. It was Marshall that brought him in. So there I am with my old producer playing keyboard, and there I am, Deacon's old producer.
That's cool.
And there I am in that old studio. Oh, it was the coolest.
That's really cool. I know when I talked to you before, we were talking about our daughters, and I know your daughter sings, and my daughter just recorded an album in Nashville at Blackbird Studio. And
oh, yeah. Another great one.
Oh, yeah. The legendary Blackbird Studios. But, man, I just wish you all the best in everything. It doesn't sound like you need it. I mean, you got all kinds of stuff going on with Outer Banks and your album. And can't wait to hear the new music, man.
Oh, thank you so much. I just want to say right now, to all the servicemen and women out there, we respect you and we're so grateful for your service. And we're so thrilled when we hear how many of you have been binging Outer Banks, that it's this thing that a little bit of that from wherever you are and whatever hard work you're doing, you get to look at this this fun treasure hunt and this bad guy named Ward. We're grateful for that and just want to say thank you.
Thank you so much, Chip. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.